done for me.
Come on.
What the Lord has done for me.
Can we sing that together? I get joy when I think about
what he's done for me.
I get joy when I think about
what he's done for me.
I get joy when I think about
what he's done for me. What the Lord has done for me.
Good morning, good morning. Can we get a shout of praise in here right now? So you are awake. You're awake. That's good. We want to welcome our online guests. We want to welcome any guests that we have in the house. We would love for you to visit us in the Connect room. Say hi, boy. Say hi. He's like, I'm not. Do you love it? No? All right. Well, we'd love for you to visit us in the Connect room. You'll get to see a pretty face like mine. this April Fools. It's not April. Today, after second service, the Motorcycle Ministry is having a takeout dinner, spaghetti, for $10. So go ahead and support them. And then we have our Easter candy drive. They've already started taking candy. You can drop anything off at the check-in desk right there. And then we have our annual budget meeting next week after second service. and then you'll get to see where your tithes and offerings go next year. And then worship night tomorrow, 7 a.m. Woo! I'm giving it to Pastor. P.M. 7 p.m. Don't. If you show up at 7, nobody will be here.
Hold on. I just got to say this. Did you see? Come here. Come here, son-in-law. Son-in-law, come here. Come here, son-in-law.
I'm nervous.
Were you nervous?
All the every time.
I'm going to teach you.
When you go like this, it don't work.
I was trying to be a rapper.
I know, he was trying to be a rapper. I love you. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. We're so blessed to have our bishop with us again this morning. And Pastor Kathy. We know it's going to be a great, great word from God for you. You know, what I love about our bishop is that he is not just a bishop in word only. A lot of guys out there, they're a bishop or they're an apostle and they're overseeing nobody. And their church is about 25. But I thank the Lord that our bishop is truly a man of God. Amen. Over 50 years of ministry, he and Pastor Kathy serving the Lord, and God's blessed their church so abundantly. That's why it's called Abundant Life Church. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God has just poured out his spirit. So today we are so honored to have our bishop in the house. How many of you were here Friday night? Wow, wasn't that a fun, fun night? I know Pastor Rhonda, she was breaking her cheeks. She was smiling so good. God is blessing us, and we're going to see God change lives today. Amen. We thank the Lord. There were people saved at Pastor Rhonda's celebration service. There were people healed at Pastor Rhonda's celebration service. So we're just giving God glory because that's what God does. Amen. That's who he is. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we're here for you today because we love you. We're in your house. That's right. We've come home this morning to be in your presence. Oh, Father, as you have literally taken and you spread before us a table of banquet, that God, we're going to come and we're going to worship you. We're going to glorify you. We're going to lift your name on high, Christ. We're going to declare that you are a good God and greatly to be praised. Now, God, when the word opens up, we're going to get our fork, we're going to get our knife, we're going to get our bib on, and we're going to declare that it is a good thing to be in the house of the Lord, and we will taste and see that the Lord and his word are good. So today, Jesus, we make a conscious decision. We put aside anything that would distract us. We focus our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we declare that, Lord, we will worship you with every fiber of our being in Jesus' name. And everybody said, I said, everybody said, I can't hear you. I said, everybody said.
Come on and clap with us.
give God a shout of praise this morning.
don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
Jesus, we worship you this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you that you allow us into the presence of heaven. Thank you, God, that we're covered with the blood of Jesus that washes away every single stain. Father, thank you that you don't see us in our righteousness, but you see us in the righteousness of your Son. Thank you, Father, for calling us sons and daughters. Thank you for the ability to come into the throne room boldly. But God, as we're in your holiness, I ask that you will purge from us. Lord, I know that the closer we get to your presence, the more we see, even as Isaiah did, woe to me, for I am undone. God, I pray in Jesus' name that we'll become so close to you, so intimate with you, Christ. Jesus, we will be in your presence so overwhelming that, Lord, whatever that sin is that so easily besets us, that we'll let it drop off and we'll repent and run from it. God, I thank you that in your presence is fullness of joy. Holy Spirit, we ask that this morning you do a supernatural work, not a natural work. We don't want to sing. We want you to change us. We want you to show up. We want you, go God, to bring us to a new layer and level of holiness, to be like the Lord. Jesus, I just thank you that you are faithful. You show up, oh God. You show up, and we love you for it. You know who we are. We're mere men. We are fragile. We are short-spanned. But Jesus, you are from everlasting to everlasting. Your mercies are new every single morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And we honor you, Jesus, the resurrected Christ. Thank you so much for hearing us this morning. Not our song, but our hearts. You are holy. We're excited the angels get to cry it, but their blood washed are excited to cry it out. You, Jesus, are holy. You are pure. You are righteous. You are God. And we honor you this morning. In Jesus' name. God's healing backs this morning. I'll show you where it's at. You ready? It's right here. If that's you, just lift your hand to the Lord. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release that healing anointing right now. God, you don't reveal it if you're not going to heal it. I bind right now sickness. I bind disease. Lord, I speak right now to this back. I command right now in Jesus' name. Brand new vertebrae. I command, Lord, the spurs. I command you to come off in the name of Jesus. I speak right now to the muscle and the tissue. I speak to the disc. I command you to hydrate in Jesus' name. Father, I command the pain, not in the name of a church, not in the name of a religion, but in the name of Jesus. You've given us authority over all sickness and disease. And I command right now, pain, come out. In Jesus' name, Father, I give you praise and honor that you are the miracle worker. You are faithful, Christ. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. We're not going to do meet and greet this morning. We want to make sure we get our bishop all the time that he needs. I just want to give a shout out. We want to, Ishmael is here from Texas. Amen. We have the Resitex from Ohio here with us this morning. If you're from out of state, just lift your hand, or you want to be. Listen, if you want to be out of state, that doesn't count. You're stuck here in New York with us. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Pastor Cody.
Pastor got me out of breath a little bit. Normally we do meet and greet, so I was standing in the back to say hi to people. He said, we're not doing it, so I ran. Want to be prepared. I don't do cardio, so I don't speak Spanish. I don't even know what that means. Awesome. Hey, if you have your Bible, will you open it up to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 real quick with me? If you have your Bible, wave it as you get into it. I know Pastor said he loves it when people bring their Bible, a real one, a leather. Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be leather, but paper at least. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to read 6 through 11, make a couple quick points, and give it to Bishop. And Paul said this, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I want to just real quick, why does God love a cheerful giver? And I think it's such an awesome thing to be a cheerful giver. And I was thinking about it last night and this morning, and it's so cool that we get to be like Jesus. And Jesus was a cheerful giver. You know, Hebrews says that it was the joy set before him that he went to the cross. And that was the greatest level of sacrifice you could have, was to give his own life for people who were still yet sinners. But he counted it joy to sacrifice for those. Started thinking about, why does God love a cheerful giver? Because Jesus was a cheerful giver. Why does God love a cheerful giver? Because giving shows what we value. Scripture says where our treasure is, our heart is also. You know, cheerful giving shows we're not bound by, and these are some words that nobody likes to be described as, we're not bound by selfishness. We're not bound by greed. We're not bound by disobedience, by laziness, or stinginess. But cheerful giving shows that we're like Jesus. Cheerful giving, it opens up to the ability to see God's blessing, according to Malachi chapter 3. Cheerful giving lets God have protection over our finances. Cheerful giving opens us up for financial blessing. Cheerful giving actually makes it so we can receive blessing. Doesn't the scripture say, don't be deceived, God's not mocked, whatever a man sows, he'll also reap? Cheerful giving allows us to receive in cheer. Cheerful giving lets us have favor with God. Cheerful giving, at the end of 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11, it says, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. Cheerful giving lets you be enriched so you can continue to be generous. And cheerful giving opens up the good life. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, and I'll end with this verse. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And I don't want you to give so the church can have more. I want you to give so you can be blessed. I want you to give so you can walk in obedience in the favor of God. Some people get it so twisted. Oh, the church wants more. No, I want you to have more so you can do more for Jesus and you can walk in the blessing of God. We teach tithing here. It's 10% of your normal giving. Some people would say, oh, that church just wants your money. Nope, we're not going to send you a bill. We're not going to make you sign up to be a member and then revoke it if you don't give. It's completely up to you and what you want to do. Amen? We also do a little bit different. We bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord up front. And we declare Deuteronomy chapter 28 over our finances and our life. And this morning, if you're ready to tithe, you can go ahead and stand to your feet. We have three ways you can give: online, you can text, or there's an envelope in the back of your chair. And we're going to declare Deuteronomy chapter 28 over our life, over our finances. And this morning, we have a special guest in town who's going to do it. His name is Ishmael, and I hope he remembers what it is, because it's been 5 years that he's looking at me like, oh, no. Oh, no, oh, no. No, Ish isn't going to do it.
That's not even nice. That's not even nice. All right, we'll do it in Pastor Rhonda's voice.
I'm blessed if I obey.
I'm sorry. Remember, this is Pastor Rhonda's favorite part of the service. She loved the giving portion. Because my life, our lives are blessed abundantly above because that woman knew how to give. Amen. Shout it out loud. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering. Watching online, it's your moment. Make sure you sow into the kingdom of God. Make sure you tithe. Many of you, this is your church, then your home. This, get right online, tithe. Make sure you're right with God.
I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed in my
Pastor Tim wrote that song. Well, Jesus wrote the song. He put words to it. Amen. We are so honored this morning again to have Bishop and Pastor Kathy with us. You know, who you sit under determines where you're going. I was listening to T.D. Jakes last night, and they asked him a question. It was an interview, and the interview was this. Who do you give credit for and where you have come from to where you are now? And this was his statement. He said, there are so many fingerprints on my life. It's not just one. It's the compilation of all. Who you have touched you determines where you're going. Because that impartation, that influence, directs your life either to God and His blessing or away from God and His blessing. So we are honored, my wife and I, we are honored to be sitting under Bishop Rick Thomas and Pastor Kathy Thomas, and we are honored that they are our oversight. I want to show you how much I believe in submission. If Bishop stood up here this morning and said, Pastor, I'm going to ask that you sit down and that you don't preach for a month or two, or that you even step away from the church, I want you to know that of absolute act of obedience, I didn't say I'd be happy about it, but absolute act of obedience, I would step away. Why? Because I honor the man of God, I honor who we are seated under, and I know he's led by the Holy Ghost. So this morning, welcome with me our Bishop and Pastor Kathy from Margate, Florida.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, church. Oh, what a beautiful crowd you are today. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen?
Amen?
Worshiping with you. Oh, wow. I'll tell you what. If you didn't feel that this morning with the worship service, you can be seated. If you didn't feel that in who God is, He's our way maker, our miracle worker. You know, as we were singing that song, I was picturing Jesus walking up and down these aisles, touching you and saying, yes, I'll make a way for you. Yes, I'll give you the miracle you're believing for. You got to see it. You got to believe it. When you're singing and worshiping the Lord, you know, worship is more than just worshiping. It's a time to receive. You don't have to wait till the end of the service. So pastor says, oh, you know, let's have a healing line. No, you know how many times I've been healed right in the beginning so that I could enjoy the rest of the service. Amen. God is so good. That was beautiful to hear that today. And it's good to be in your house, even though I left 75 degree weather. It's cold up here.
It was 81 yesterday.
Oh, it was 81 yesterday. Sorry, 81. But I'm so glad to be here. It's been many years since I've been able to join my husband, and I'm so grateful that we got the opportunity. It took us 2 days to try to get here with the planes that were, you know, we were having problems with planes and stuff. But you know what? God makes a way. He's a way maker. Even down to that last, I mean, yesterday we had like several flights trying to get here, and I said, we got to call Pastor because we didn't know that last plane. We were going to miss it. But God held the plane. I called my angel and said, hold that plane for us. And he did, and we were able to make it. And we had the most beautiful service. Oh. I'm telling you, in 45 years of ministry with this man, I don't know when I have enjoyed and loved and felt such a presence of God. I mean, we've done many, many memorials and funerals. But there was such a presence of God. And I know Pastor Rhonda, if God opened the windows of heaven, was smiling down saying, that's what I wanted. Yes, that's what I wanted. I know she would have been pleased because God was here. God was here. And I want to encourage you, church, before Bishop speaks. I just want to encourage you. Hold up the man. Hold up the arms of your pastor. Be there for this man this year. And whatever he needs, be there for him. Hold up his arms. Love him like you've never loved him. This is a great and awesome man, and they were a great couple. We loved Pastor Rhonda. We love them so much. We honor them. We're going to miss Pastor Rhonda. We are. But she'll always be in our hearts. She'll always be in our minds for the good things she's done, the things that she's done for Jesus through eternity. God will not forget the things that she's done. And I pray that you won't either. The miracles you've seen, people that she's laid hands on to believe for miracles for you. Just remember the woman that she was and who she still is in the sight of Jesus and in his presence. Thank you for having us this weekend. It's been good to be with you.
So thankful my wife is with me, married 42 years, and it's been an incredible time. We're best friends. We love to be with each other. Someone said, "Well, you know, we don't need to go with anybody else. We just like being with each other. We really do." And 42 years later, we still have our date nights and have that time together. And I'm glad now because we've been through a lot of things over the last several years with family. Of course, grandkids are in town, so she stays home, Mama stays home, and Grandma does and watches, you know, and helps take care of all of that. So she's not traveled with me a lot over the years. But now, starting this year, she's going to start traveling with me more. And, and next time she's back, she'll be singing and ministering and do it using her gift. So we're excited about that. I want to talk to you about some things today that are very important to me, and I think was very important to your pastors. But before I go any further, I want to say a couple of things first. Number one, when my father, he lived with us the last 8 years of his life. My mom had already gone on to be with the Lord. And I remember we used to ride by this church, this Presbyterian church they built. Incredible building facility, just unbelievable. And they were from Coral Springs, and they went across into Margate and built this church and right across the canal. And we'd go to church. My dad would ride with me. My wife was in charge of the worship and arts of the church and did all the worship on Sunday morning, so she'd go a little bit earlier than we did. Dad would ride in with me, and it was a great time together, a great fellowship together. And every time we go by the Presbyterian church, he'd go, "Why are those Presbyterians in our church?" I said, "Dad, you can't say that. You can't covet what..." He said, "I'm not coveting it. They have no business being here. They God called them to Coral Springs. They need to get back where they belong." My dad graduated, went home to be with the Lord. It was very unique. On a Sunday morning, I was with him, and I said, "Dad, I'll be back." And I introduced a guest speaker we had, and I'll come back. My brother was with my dad. My dad was sitting in the bed, and he was sitting up talking. He was fine. They shaved him. They cleaned him up. He looked at the clock and he said to my brother, he said, "What time is that, 11:10? My brother said, "Yes, it's 11:10, Dad." He said, "You know, your mother went home to be with the Lord at 11:10 on Sunday morning." My brother says, "Yeah, I know." He said, "Bring me my Bible." Brought him his Bible. My dad had a saying wherever he went, and I say it here too, and we'll do it in a moment. But God is a good God. God loves you, and God's going to bless you. He lifted his Bible. He didn't say a word. He just said three times. He laid it down. He smiled. He closed his eyes, and he went to be with my mother. Now, you're asking me, why are you telling me this? As we heard from Pastor, he said, "Honey, it's okay. You can go." He looked at her. He blew her a kiss, and she went home to be with the Lord. But what you need to understand, well, that's between her and God, and it was between my dad and God. They left a legacy of prophetic words along the way. This was in 2006. And in 2015, we moved into that Presbyterian church. See, some of you ain't got it yet. It's not the moment. It's the journey. And you have had prophetic words given by the incredible prophetess of God, yep, that you better mark them down, yes, because God's word does not return void. Yes, and you better go back and revisit. Amen? That's enough of that. I will not now. I will go to our message. I felt like I had to share that this morning, Pastor. There's things that we need to know that we need to hold on to. But we want to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. I want to talk about how your faith brings about full suspension. How faith is in your life to bring about suspension. And I'll explain that in just a moment. But in the book of Matthew, in chapter 8, verse 5, it says, "And when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said, 'I will come and heal him.' The centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority and having soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith. I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel.'" Now, it's important you see something here. What he's saying is this: I've been brought here to the Jewish community, and I don't find faith. Here I have a centurion who isn't of the chosen generations, if you will, who has more faith than the people who say they're believers. I want to suggest to you, in our world today, we have churches filled with people who say they have faith, but they see nothing. They say they have faith, but there's no victory won. They say they have faith, but there's no miracles manifested. They say they have faith, but they live like the world system. According to statistics today, the churches are filled with the same number of people getting divorces as in the world. We have as many people getting, if you will, therapy, but than the world has. We have as many abortions almost in the churches around the world today as we have in the world today. The church has so compromised itself that we no longer live by faith, but we live by circumstance. We move into a situation, it's called situational ethics. What is good in the moment is what we believe is right for us. And we come from a grace message that has been so perverted that we think God, by God's grace, we don't have to do anything. That God, by grace, has made it all possible. That everybody's going to be saved. And everything's going to work out. And we even to change our theology to accommodate our difficulties and our tragedies to try and justify why we're not living by faith. And I want to challenge us today, because I know this is a church of faith. I know that your pastors, I know that Pastor Michael, and I know that Pastor Rhonda in particular, she was big on this subject called faith. And so we want to explore some things today that hopefully will begin to move us into a new direction. We know Hebrews 11:6 is, "Without faith it's impossible to please him. For he comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." Now, in your Bible, the thing you need to have underlined there, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, I can't seek God unless I walk by faith. Amen. Faith is something that is required for me in my journey to identify myself with who God is and where God is leading me. Now, what is faith? Faith is a heartfelt belief. We note that. Heartfelt belief in something that God has said. But faith is something else. Faith, when I walk in faith, it means I'm walking in that which is separating me from what the world system is telling me. It's important that I get that in my spirit. That I cannot allow the system. I can't allow the situations that are going on in our world today. The crisis that we have in the world today. I mean, we have a crisis politically in our world system today. Whether it be in the United States or Canada, or whether it be over in Beijing or wherever you may be, there's a critical thing in the politics in the world today. There's a crisis that's taking place in a monetary system today. Things are falling apart. They don't know what they're going to do. And they're all coming up with different ideas. And all of a sudden, we're coming up with different ways to hide ourselves with our cryptos and currencies and things. And they all are wonderful. But where do they come from? It came from the idea that we are trying to figure some way to deal with the crisis that's in the world. We're trying to deal with the crisis with our own concepts and our own ideas and our own things that we come up with. But God is the author of our faith. God is the one that will provide for us. He will give us the wisdom. He will give us the insight. We have a crisis in our world with racism today. When did we begin to make color more important than walking by faith? When do we begin to realize that the kingdom of God does not operate in color, but operates in faith? But we have a crisis. We have a gender crisis today. We've got a man that says he's a woman that's breaking all records in the swimming pool. And they're saying, well, because they call themselves this and they're transgender, it must be okay. No, it's not okay. God's word does not change. God said, I do not change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. As long as the earth remains, God's word is going to be prevalent. And it'll be here after the earth is gone. As we know it, the word is still going to be here. And so we talk about this subject of faith. It's very unique. We have a tendency to use it only when we have a crisis, to use it only when there's a problem that comes up, to use it only when it sounds spiritual. I'm around other people that are spiritual, but when I'm not around them, I talk totally different. Faith is not revealed. Write this down if you're taking notes. Faith is not revealed in manifestation. It's revealed in revelation. I said, faith is not built in man. See, because you saw somebody get healed. No. Faith is revealed in revelation. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 through 17, we have a story that the prophet is sitting with. He wakes up in the morning with his servant, and his servant looks around, and they're surrounded by the enemy, and his servant is all upset, and he's going, what are we going to do, master? Oh, the enemy is here. There's so many of them. They're surrounded us. And the prophet looks at him, and he says, what is your problem? Look around. He says, you're not seeing with the eye of the Spirit. So he prayed. And he said, Father, give him a revelation. So he now afterwards can see the manifestation. Whew. See, here's the thing you need to understand. God wants you to have a revelation so you don't live off of somebody else's manifestation. Come on, stay with me, folks. It's so easy to come to a meeting and have a man of God get up and operate in faith and pray for the sick. And woo, that's great. But what are you going to do when you go home? You need a revelation of what that man has. That's the reason he says that when the anointing goes, it goes from the head to the beard to the skirts. What is he saying? He's saying what they understand, you've got to understand. What they see, you've got to see. They do, you've got to do. Whew. Fascinating, isn't it? We cannot live off of the manifestation in someone else's life. We've got to have a revelation in our own life. Revelation is a stepping stone to manifestation. Romans 10:17 says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I tell our congregation this every week almost. Never forget the word of God paints pictures on the canvas of your mind that your natural man cannot understand. The word of God will paint pictures on the canvas of your mind that the natural man cannot understand. Lean not to your understanding. Glory to God. So we've got to let the word of God paint pictures so we can see what God sees, so we move into a revelatory moment. Because you see, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. So we've got to think differently. We've got to see things from a different perspective. And as we move into that, we understand. He says, we go to that in Romans 4:17-21. We learn how to call those things which be not as though they are. We begin to call things into being. We call things which be not as though they are. My dad, from 2004, 5 and 6, before we went on to be with the Lord, called that church into being. Now, I don't know what took place in the heavenlies, but I know there had to be some kind of war that was going on. But it didn't matter because he had already called it into being. He had a revelation that no one else had. And he would tell everybody this. Because he said, I see us in that church. Revelation. Tell somebody you need a revelation. See, when you walk in revelation, manifestation is normal. We don't treat manifestation as normal in the church. We treat it like, oh, wow, isn't that awesome? No, if you have a revelation, manifestation is normal. I was with Ted Shuttlesworth, and we were in a restaurant down in South Florida, and Evangelist Ted Shuttles, we were sitting there, we've been dear friends for years, and we were having something to eat, and we were talking, and Martin Santiago was there, and the waiter comes out, and he goes, can we help you? And we're talking, all of a sudden, he turns to the waiter, he says, listen, don't worry about tonight, everything's going to be fine. those tickets that you have in your pocket for that concert, they just told you you're going to have to work, and you paid money for those tickets, but there's somebody in the back that's going to pay you double for those tickets because they sold out. You're going to make double from that, and you have a great day today. Don't worry about it. And the guy just looked at him. He said, so he took our order. He went and said, hey. All of a sudden, the guy comes back out. He is white as a sheet. He says, who are you? And Ted just looked at him. He says, tell me your story. He says, I went in the back. I had bought tickets for the concert for my girlfriend. My boss said if I didn't work, I'd lose my job. I had to work, and I was worried about what I was doing the tickets. I walked in the back, and the cook said, I'll pay double anybody if I can get the tickets so I can take my girlfriend tonight. You see, Revelation doesn't wait till you come to church. Oh, God, help me. See, some of you are waiting for your manifestation in church. If you have your revelation at home, you can come to church and give your testimony. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans says the same thing. Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, we walk by faith. Faith is an action. It's not a thought process. If we do the difficult, that releases God to do the impossible. I said, if we do the difficult, that releases God to do the impossible. That, and it's so for us to get our minds wrapped around that. The difficult is showing up when it's 10 degrees outside and instead of being here for the service, but being ready to set up for the service.
Right.
Oh, so quiet all of a sudden. Isn't it? Difficult is giving. When you feel like I don't have anything to give. Difficult is letting God say, see that person sitting next to you in that restaurant? Go over and tell them Jesus loves them. But if you're willing to do the difficult, God will always be released to do the impossible. See, faith people understand that. People of faith understand that. Watch this now. Faith in action is not a thought, it's a process. Only faith in God and His Word can deliver you from the God of this world. The only thing that can deliver you from the God of this world is faith. Yeah. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 13, we have the daughter of Abraham. And she is being healed. And all of the religious people are upset. I'm fascinated with people who name the name of Jesus but say they don't believe in miracles. They don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in the supernatural. But how can you believe in Jesus and not believe in miracles? How can I believe that I'm going to heaven, which I cannot see, if I can't believe in miracles and what I can see? So what we had here is this little lady, he said, should not this daughter of Abraham be healed? And all of a sudden we see that the faith in that manifestation, it suspended the rule of religion. God, help us to suspend the rules of religion in our churches and in our nations and wherever we are. Get away from the old junk and move into the newness of what the Father is doing. Joshua said to the sun and moon in the middle of battle, he says, it's time for you to stand still. And the rule of the universe was now suspended. Oh, God, help me to suspend the rule of the universe over my house and over my family and over my church and over my city and over my state, over my country. Oh, God, help the church to fall on their face before you and suspend the rule of the universe. Matthew chapter 14, Peter is walking on the water, and we see the rule of nature is suspended. We see in Mark chapter 7, 24 through 30, we see the Syrophoenician woman who comes to Jesus, and the rule of racism is suspended. We see in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 4 through 7, the axe head swims, and the law of physics is suspended. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, as we said earlier. Romans 4, 1, 17, the just live by that faith. Living by faith, fact versus truth. Facts could create truths, but many times we allow false truths to create facts. Facts created by circumstances held captive by a moment. A moment is never the truth of a matter. Let me say that again. Facts created by circumstances held captive by a moment, but a moment is never the truth of a matter. If your ideology, now you need to write this down. If your ideology is based on circumstance, it will create a philosophy in your life, and you will end up with a false narrative. If you allow the ideology of this world system that you operate in is based upon the circumstance. In other words, I act based upon what I encounter. It will create a philosophy in my life that will cause me to end up with a false narrative of my life. How many Christians are living in a false narrative? I got a lot to cover today. God chooses not to bless everyone as one of those narratives that are given out. He chooses not to bless everyone. That is a lie. Isn't it amazing? Now, this shows you how warped the church has gotten. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believed in him would perish. Right? They'll not perish, but have everlasting life. Is that correct? Is that correct? So we develop it's a philosophy. It's not a theology. They try to call it theology, but it's a philosophy that God's not going to save everyone. He doesn't want everyone to be saved. That you have been predestined. The only predestination is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God doesn't say, you're going to be saved. You're not going to make it. Something about you I don't like. We'll come back and talk about that later. I think you can make it. You look pretty good. I think I'll help that one over there. That's a false narrative. But we have theology that deals with that. We have the other theology that God doesn't bless everyone. So it's just not made God. And we say weird stuff like, it's not God's will for you. Really? Then you better not read what Cody read just a while ago. Don't even go there. Because he said that if you are a cheerful giver, it didn't identify certain cheerful givers. God says he gives seed to the sower, and he didn't identify what kind of sower. He said, if you're a sower, I'm going to give you seed. Yeah. And guess what? And God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, he shall reap. Therefore, don't get into that narrative that God does not want everybody blessed, because Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, come on, touch the person next to you and say, he's talking to you. If we choose to operate in that dimension, this will cause us to reject God's word and live by man's plan of understanding, to justify himself. See, we feel a need to justify why this happened, justify why what's going on here. That's called situational ethics. As God's creation, we are not to try and justify ourselves. We're just to live by faith. I don't have to justify myself to anyone. When I got a hold of this, I got so free, Pastor. Because I was concerned because God was blessing us in such a way that I was almost embarrassed. And I knew people don't like prosperity preachers and preachers that are rich.
Right.
Oh, come on. Some of you don't. Some of you are sitting out here today. That's okay. Because your idea is, because he's taking the money, like I love it, taking the money from the people. Would it amaze you that God gave my wife and I that we got some inheritance, we bought a piece of property, and that we made a bunch of money? Would it amaze you that we sold that and bought another piece of property and made an absorbent amount of money? Would it amaze you that I write books and I sell them all over the country and it has nothing to do? I give more to my church than the church paid me. Does that amaze you? It should amaze you, because if not, then you're going to sit there and go, see, all he wants is my money. I don't need your money. When you give all, listen, and I'm not taking, turn the person next to say, listen, take it easy. He's not taking an offering. But I want you to get something in your spirit. My blessing has nothing to do with my position. My blessing has everything to do with my faith walk. If you walk in faith with, First Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not be in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Amen. And I've talked this the other night, but I want to get into just for a quick moment here. Here's the thing we need to understand. And while the scripture says there that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, now faith is, now is in the moment, but is in the future. Faith is the substance. So now is in the moment, but is takes it to the future. Now watch this now, of things hoped for. Here's the thing you need to get in your spirit. The word hoped for is expectation. Yes. What is your expectation is where your faith is going to get out of the moment and move out of the now and move into the future. And if you don't get your now into the future, you're going to be stuck in your circumstance and you're not going to be happy. Right. Faith is always moving. It's identified in the moment, but it's moving. It's like a baby being born. Once the you go, oh, the baby is born. And all of a sudden, you see this baby growing like it never stops growing. Till you get old, and then you decide, I'm going to retire, and then you got a problem. Because when you retire, you quit thinking. You quit producing. See, I don't believe in retirement. I don't believe you got to stay in a job. You've been in a job 30 years, and you want to leave that. I get that. I don't have it. But once you leave it, do something else. Well, you know, I've worked hard. Okay, then fine. Come and get involved in the church. Be active. Be productive. Listen, the moment you stop producing, you break the carnal rule. God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. Then you have dominionship and authority. He said to, listen, he said to Noah, after Noah had given an offering and all of that, he came to Noah and his sons. He said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. Listen, you can't get away from it. If you don't produce fruit, he says, I'll cut you off of the vine. I'll put you away. But those that produce fruit, I'll trim, and they will produce more fruit, and in their fruit God will be glorified. Yeah. Never stop being a producer. Had this couple come to me in their 80s, 88, 89. He started learning the piano in his 80s. Carl Honecker. But because they couldn't actively do everything what they used to do before, they started the prayer chain. Oh, come on, some of you getting. They began to pray for everybody in the church. They began to do something about it. Had another lady come to me. She says, I can't make it to church anymore because of my physical being and stuff. She says, but I want you to know, Bishop, I get on that prayer chain and I pray for people all the time. My mother, the last year and a half of her life, had a back problem and some other things that she couldn't get out of bed. She sat in the bed. She had got my dad to get her an adjustable bed. She sat up. She said, bring me the phone book. And my mom sat in her bed going through the phone book and calling people and said, how you doing? You don't know me, but my name is Edith Thomas. My husband is Bishop Thomas. He pastors Abundant Life Church. And I just want to let you know that God is a good God. He loves you, wants to bless you. Do you need prayer? Some people would hang up, but I can't tell you the number of people she led to Christ that last year and a half. Don't tell me that you're too old or you can't, too immobilized, that you can't do something for God. Amen. Productive people in the kingdom are the most exciting people in the world. Move your faith, the now of faith, into the future. If you do not move your now into the future, your now will be held captive by your circumstance. Then your future will be aborted. When you lose sight of your dreams, you present yourself, if you will, and you lose sight of your dreams into a captivity state, and you now have no place to go. You got to always dream. I said you have to always dream. No faith. Now faith is a confirmation, according to the Amplified Bible, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what has not been revealed to the senses. I love this. Faith is a title deed of things hoped for. That word things is a unique word, T-H-I-N-G-S. Because I'm from the South, we call it things. You know those things. But it's things, T-H-I-N-G-S, it's pragma. The word is pragma in the Greek. It means this, that which God has already created for you, that he set in motion, that you must identify. Oh, let me help you. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, or in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them. In other words, every little thing in life that you have need to be successful is already here. But if you don't have a revelation of it. Okay, let me move on. Oh my, I got to finish up here. We have to leave the law of the physical world to walk by faith. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're sons of God. We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So every truth comes from the Word of God. But when I get into the Word of God, let me say this. When I get into the Word of God, I've got to enter into the fourth dimension.
Right.
The fourth dimension. Now, what do we mean by that? It means that I've got to stop looking at you the way the world says you are. What does the Word of God say about this situation? See, when you receive Jesus, according to the book of Colossians, it said that he was taking you out of the control of darkness and translating you to the kingdom of his dear son over there in Colossians chapter 1 and around verses 18, 19, and 20. He talks about that transition that takes place. But you switch kingdoms. You move from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. The kingdom of darkness operates in the natural senses, the five senses of mankind. It operates in the physical world. That's how Satan works. Even though he's a spirit, he has to take and move into spirit and physical beings in order to bring about what he wants to bring about. He has no authority. I don't know, but my Bible tells me Jesus took the authority back and gave it to us. My Bible tells me he took the keys of death and hell and put it under his feet. My Bible says we're above and not below. I don't know how you look at this. So I've got to live in that other dimension, and that fourth dimension is which spirit. The spirit is, while I look not at that which is seen, I look at that which is not seen. I can't look at the, I look at the thing and I go, look at the world, it's going to hell in a handbasket. But I look at the Bible and it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Yes.
God's not held captive by what's going on over in Beijing or going over in Iran or going on in Washington, D.C. Oh, thank God we're not held captive.
Amen.
People of faith. We don't ignore it. We just don't acknowledge it. I don't ignore it. I just don't take, I ain't got time to acknowledge it. I'm not saying it's not there. I'm not saying crisis isn't there. I'm just saying it's not my crisis. Psalms 119, 43, and take not the word of the truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances, so shall you your law keep. I will keep your law continually. Forever and ever I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Proverbs 35, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. We need to learn how to live by faith. Knowledge is not always truth, but the world's concept of truth does not always make a reality. James says in 2:26, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Romans 1:17, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It's written to just live by faith. 1 Timothy 6:12, we're to fight the good fight of faith, which means that faith is a struggle. Faith deals with enemies. Faith will require total commitment. Faith is a heartfelt belief and a total trust. Faith, according to Hebrews 11:1, is now. Is present tense, but is future motivated. Faith is substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith takes you to the unseen world of the spirit. Faith suspends the five natural senses, touch, seeing, hearing, smelling, and tasting. Faith causes us to look into another world that is not identified by the physical, but only by the spirit. And while we look not at those things which are seen, Hebrews 11:3 says those things which are seen were made not of the things which are visible. Why do I want to look at that which is seen when that which is not seen created it? I'd rather go to what's not seen so I can tell what's seen what it's supposed to do. That's called, if you don't understand it, authority. Romans 10:8 says the word is near you, is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. In James 1 and 2 through 4, and I'm going to close with that. I ask the musicians to come. But in James chapter 1, you might want to look at that for a quick moment. It's a powerful, powerful, y'all know it, but I want to take time and read it. James chapter 1, verses 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. When translations, when you fall into diverse temptations, testings, and trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance. The word is endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking what? So when faith is perfected in your life, everything that God has created for you is going to come to you. See, I am to seek Jesus. I'm not to seek stuff. Stuff is supposed to seek me. Oh, come on. These blessings shall overtake you. That means they're running after you. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. They're running after me. My cup is running over. I'm not putting anything in it. God is filling. And by the way, in Psalms 23, my cup runneth over. You know what the word cup is in the original language, Hebrew language? It's your money bag. We think we're drinking wine, baby. We got support. No, no, no. He says your money bag is going to overflow in the midst of your enemies. I'm going to give you a table. I'm going to prepare a meal for you in the midst of your enemies. I'm going to anoint your head with oil. Goodness and mercy, things are going to follow you. Even though you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, it's going to be okay because I walk by faith and not by sight. If God be for me, who can be against me? I am who he says that I am. Waymaker. That's what I want. You know what's good about being out here like this? I'm in charge. I'm joking. Come on. My question. We doing okay? My question to his tabernacle. You have the greatest challenge based upon, in one sense, the greatest loss this church has ever had. But yet, the greatest foundation that's ever been laid is here. Now, let me help you a minute. Come here, Pastor. This church could not be where it's at without Pastor Rhonda.
It's a fact.
You got that? He couldn't be what he is without Pastor Rhonda. But what you're not identifying is she couldn't have been what she was without her headship. And while you have lost a loved one, lift your arms up. You still have your covering. Your covering has gone nowhere. And so we're going to walk by faith and not by sight. And we're going to change horse heads.
Yes.
We're going to change this area. Yes. We're going to reach around the world with the gospel. Yes. And we're going to declare
absolutely
who God is.
That's right.
Our God is a good God.
Yes,
he loves you.
Yes.
He's going to bless you.
He's going to bless you.
And I anoint you in the name of Jesus. With a fresh new anointing. I tear off everything the enemy would try and bring against you, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, economically. Now be loosed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, Pastor, the anointing goes from the head. You said, I'm your headship, even though I'm not as tall as you. To the beard, to the skirts. I release the anointing upon you. Now release it upon your people.
Amen. It is so important to understand that that is how it flows. Because when you're out of order, then it only brings chaos. Some of you are dealing with chaos in your life right now. I'm dealing with some chaos. My landscape has changed. The great part is that creator of the landscape never has. But I'm walking in a new landscape. And some of you are going through struggles of your own. And I want you to do something this morning, and that is, you need to learn, as Bishop preached, you need to go listen to this message again. Listen, the worst part about Bishop coming, honestly, is you can't listen to the sermon once. It's just not even possible. You got to listen to it at least two or three times because he drops nugget after nugget after nugget after nugget. And your fingers can't write quick enough. I mean, I write fast, but you can't write quick enough. And then some of you have never even heard them before. So the second time you listen to it, it then is able to bring revelation to you because you weren't even aware that that was a bit of information that would engage your spirit man. So today, I just want to encourage you. We're all on an adventure. Now, I love my wife, and in 2 weeks, we're going to be scattering her ashes in Florida, and I'm going to take my ring off because I'm not married any longer. She's got a husband. My wife left me for another man. I stole that from Brother Avanzini. My wife left me for another man, and his name is her greatest lover, Jesus Christ. There's nobody she loved more than Jesus. If you know anything about that woman, there's nobody she loved more than Jesus. There's nobody she spent more time with than Jesus. And I want to challenge you. Make sure you keep him number one in your life. Well, you know, I don't understand. Well, again, it's not for you to understand. You and I don't know what happens in life all the time. We don't always comprehend, but we know this. My wife, you've heard me say this 1,000 times. I'd rather die in faith any day than die in doubt. I'll keep my eyes on Jesus to the final step. Can I hear an amen? And then the truth is after, because like I said, I gave Jesus time to send her back. I don't even stop having faith even after the last breath. So here we are with our landscape have changed. We have a choice. The vision hasn't changed. The mission hasn't changed. Jesus hasn't changed. The landscape has changed. And so, if you like landscaping, sometimes you go out and buy the same kind of tree. Sometimes you go out and you manicure your garden to look like somebody else's garden. Maybe you looked at Better Home and Gardens. I want to challenge you to do that with Pastor Rhonda's life. The greatest thing you could ever do for her is love Jesus more and get busy. Her statement was simple. Tell them, now that I'm gone, they've got to pick up my slack. She said that to me in the man cave the morning that she wrote that last letter. Some of you have gotten really lazy in the kingdom. Well, I worked for years. You're not working now. Everybody's got to do something for Jesus. I said, everybody's got to do something for Jesus. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't be a slug. Pastor Rhonda's not here any longer. She's in the presence of the Lord. We're going to miss her desperately. But at the same time, the impartation she has left was she was a woman that even when she was in the hospital, when we got her phone, the amount of text messages and ministry that she did all day long was astronomical, encouraging other people while she was in the hospital. You've got to get busy. And that is the honor that you can give. And walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, you are the Spirit of comfort. We ask that you saturate us, overwhelm us, that we will actually ooze the very presence of Christ called peace. Nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken. God, we thank you for what you've given us. And we've made a decision in our heart that we're not going to let it lay lax. But we are going to pick it up. We're going to pick up that baton, and we're going to run to the next level. God, that we're going to see more souls saved in this region. We're going to see more churches started than we've ever even thought of. We're going to see, God, this church in the middle of a cornfield literally touch nations for the glory of heaven. God, we're going to bring in the greatest harvest in the shortest amount of time with the great amount of workers. Because now, Father, we're not going to sit by on our hands and expect somebody else to do it. We're going to get involved with the gifts and the anointing we have.
with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this kind of service is a little strange for you. You're wondering, what is all of this? But you've been feeling the drawing of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? You're a little nervous. You're saying, I don't understand, but I want God. Today, if you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want him to wash your sins away. You want to be part of God's kingdom. I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait real long. Is there anyone here this morning that would like to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? If you're watching online, and if you want Christ, I want you to dial 9700. Where are we? There we go. Right on the screen. I want you to type in, I am saved, to 97000. Somebody's going to pray with you. Anybody in the room, I'm not going to wait long, that needs Jesus as their Savior. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, and last call, and 1. Now listen now, you're going to hear a rebuke from your pastor. You came to church with nobody that needs Jesus. Listen, you hate nobody more than the one you're unwilling to tell about Christ. Because he is the only way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. We've got to go get them. I said we've got to go get them. I said we've got to go get them. Don't come to church without somebody that doesn't know Christ. Go get them. Invite 5. Statistically, they say 3 will come. Go get them. Today, let's all stand to our feet. Can we give the bishop a hand clap this morning? Yeah. Amen. We want to receive an offering for him. He came with absolutely no requirements. They paid their own airfare. They paid everything pretty much themselves. I'm going to give the first $1,000. And where's the bin? Give me a bin. I believe in sowing and reaping, and I am a smart guy. That is, you always want to sow into good ground. Amen? So you have envelopes there in your chairs. Ask the Holy Spirit what he would have you give. And we're going to sow into our bishop. Amen. I want to thank all those that have sown into the Rhonda Jean house. We're going to know at the beginning of this week how much was given. And but today, I'm smart, Bishop. I know how to sow. My wife taught me that. I, by nature, am one who does not like to let go of a dollar. I can make a penny scream until it becomes a nickel. Now I'm not saying that I'm a good saver, but I make it scream so I can spend more. My wife taught me how to give. Like I said, she's given our bank account out like 0, more than I can count. But that woman there, we are where we are financially because she was a wise sower. So I challenge you to be a sower this morning. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, whatever you would lay it on our spirit, that God, we will sow. Lord, we know, God, that everyone in this room has something to sow. We know that because you give seed to the sower. So I pray, God, that if there are those that don't have anything, that you will convict them for eating their seed. And that, Jesus, you will teach them that no farmer eats all of his seed or he has no crop for the next season. And that, Lord, you'll teach us how to be perpetual sowers for perpetual harvest. And God, we thank you that the bishop is good ground. And we honor him. We love him and Pastor Kathy. We speak your blessing upon them. And Lord Jesus, we just want to say we love you. And everybody said, amen. As you're going, make sure you bring your honor to the Lord right to the front of the altar. And don't leave without giving something. Remember, you never come to the king's house without a gift.